Take your Bible to Isaiah chapter 55, if you will. Isaiah chapter 55. While you're turning there, let me mention this is a 9-week series that we're doing. It's My Way or the Highway. I preached the first 3 messages, and today I've asked Brother Vestal to preach a message as well. And it's My Way or the Highway concerning the home. Either we're going to do it our way or we're going to do it God's way, which is the highway. And throughout this series, I've asked Brother Vestal and Brother Frost to preach a sermon or two out of that 9-week series. And as we progress into the future, you're going to see more times where they will take a Sunday morning service. I feel like God has blessed us here. This will be our 31st year this September. But I do want to prepare these young men so that Grandview continues to have a thriving future 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. And God has used these men in a special way. This is Brother Vestal's 19th year with us. And praise the Lord for that. Next June will be their 20th year. And this week, their oldest child, Derek, will be heading off to Bible college. And they'll be driving there to take him to Bible college, as many other of our families are doing so with their children. And many of the students who are here for their last Sunday before they go off to Bible college. And we love them dearly, and we're so proud of them. But if you found that passage of Scripture, will you stand? And Brother Vestal's going to come and take the service from here.
Now you're standing, but don't turn out and leave, okay? You just stand there and don't move. Ushers, keep those doors closed, okay? The Word of the Lord is so helpful to us in so many ways. And as we refer to this passage, first of all, we're likewise going to refer to another passage in just a few moments. But just as a way to remind us of getting us on the same page in this series of lessons, My Way or the Highway, would you look with me, Isaiah chapter number 55. We're looking at verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please be seated. I want to make a few statements here, and then we're going to transition into the other passage. I'll have you turn there in just a moment. But as way of introduction, God has always provided a way for his people. He has never left his people without a way. All throughout Scripture, God has provided a way for mankind. In Jeremiah 32:39, I was reading this morning, and it said, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them," watch this, "and of their children after them." God is saying, I am providing you a way, not just for your sake, but you got some kiddos behind you that are watching you. And I'm doing it for them. I read that this morning and I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we don't walk through this earth in darkness. And though there are times of fear and frustration, we have a God who is in control of it all. And he has, I want to tell you this morning from the start, before we even get into the next passage, whatever it is that you're going through this morning, God has a way. Don't fear. Don't do that. I'm going to do this again, and I didn't plan this, but I was teaching class this morning, and we're talking about our thought life and keeping our thoughts right towards the Lord. Sometimes we get in this anxious time of life. We get in these seasons where there's anxiety and there's just fretting and fear. And I told our class this morning, I said, you know what? It's time that we stop doing this. You ever been here? Boy, I have. Not proud of it. But it's time that we stop doing this and we start doing this. Are you following me this morning? We have a God who has a plan for our life, and if we're not careful, we're wringing our hands trying to figure out how we're going to work it out. And He said, I've already got a way for you. You know, even in times of temptation, God says, I am providing for you what? A way to escape. Our God does not only have a way for us to be productive and follow His path in going through our life, but He says, even those times where you are tempted to do something that you shouldn't, and if you're like I am, that comes on a daily basis, okay? God says, I've also provided a way for that. I have provided for you a way of escape. Now, folks, that sounds like a pretty good God to me. And it sounds like it would behoove us to follow His highway versus what we can try to muster up on our own. That's not going to work. And so this morning we come to the subject of the home. We come to the subject of the home. Now, would you please turn with me to another passage of Scripture we're looking at in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, I want to read a passage here dealing with the home. Paul is writing to the Christians of Ephesus in this book. And as we come to chapter 5, we find Paul, through the Lord's leadership, he's exhorting the Christians in unity and in holiness and in love. In verse 21, he begins to narrow it down to certain individuals. It's not just blanket statements of follow Christ, even though those are great. He begins to narrow it down and speak to the men and the husbands in a very personal way. He begins to speak to the wives and to the ladies in a very personal way. And even to the children, we find at the very beginning of chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, he addresses the children specifically. And God lays out for us this highway for the home. Please look at this chapter with me. We're looking at verse 21. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter number 5. And in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, I know when I got to verse 25, there were three ladies nudging their husbands on that one, right? Say, now it's your turn. Are you listening, honey? Okay. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into this message entitled, The Highway for the Home. Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We know that we have your perfect word before us. And Lord, I know that in myself there is great imperfection. But God, for this hour, it's been chosen that I give this message. And so, Heavenly Father, I yield myself to you. Lord, I do not present this message having arrived in this area, but I do present this message with a caring and tender heart, striving to have this that you've provided for our home. I pray that you would help me as I challenge others to do so. I pray that you would do a great work in our lives. Lord, would you please help us to put aside other things that might interfere with what you have for us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor mentioned just a few minutes ago that my wife and I have been here working at the church for a little over 19 years. I'll never forget, as we came to visit Pastor in the church back in 1996, we were coming for a weekend to visit in hopes that we would be what he and the church wanted and could be used. We had a great time together, had a great visit. It was actually on a children's fair weekend. I think he orchestrated that on purpose. But it was great. I'll never forget. I shouldn't point. I'm going to tell you this, and I hadn't planned on it. We were here for a children's fair Sunday weekend. And a children's fair is where we bring a whole lot of kids in. They have a great time. We give them the plan of salvation, the gospel, and many of them trust Christ as Savior, as well as parents that arrive as well. Families come to this. And so, Pastor said, we were in the midst of it all, and there were some Spanish folks that came. This was before we had a Spanish church. And over in what used to be the fireside room, there were 100 Spanish people in that room. And I passed Pastor in the hallway, and he goes, there's 100 Spanish people in the fireside room. I need you to go preach to them. And he laughed. I think it was kind of like initiation. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. I didn't even have time to say no. Or, me no speaking no Spanish. I couldn't even say it. Man, I went in that room. Now, he did mention to me that Blanca, now her name, Blanca Skaggs, was in the room. And she's a dear lady in our church. And she interpreted, and boy, we made that happen. Anyway, that was just a memory of then. But while we were visiting there, here, Pastor took us out to eat to a few places. We had a great time of fellowship. One of the places that he took us out to was a Chinese restaurant. I had never been, believe it or not, to a Chinese restaurant. I was, 26 at the time. And I grew up in the South. You know, we ate that American food, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have none of that foreign stuff. I shouldn't say. But I'll tell you, I was missing out because it was good stuff. I got to bring it back to where I don't hurt anybody's feelings, right? Well, we're sitting at the table. Imperial Garden on McLaughlin. You ever been there? And we're sitting at the table. Man, I start looking at that menu. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I have never eaten at a place like this. I'm reading stuff that I can't even half pronounce. Of course, that's not much since I did grow up in the South. You know what I'm saying? Menu. You know, I got it. And so what's that? You too? Pastor grew up in the South too, but he's much smarter than I am, okay? Where was I? That was interrupted. Oh, yeah. The people beside of us, I heard them ordering. I thought they were choking on their food. They were saying things like, Mugu ga pa. I thought, man, that guy needs Heimlich maneuver or something. I didn't know he was ordering food. I'm like, what am I going to do? My wife and I had been married about a little over a year. We didn't have any children then. And you know how you kick each other under the table to get there? What do I order? I thought, well, I'm going to play it safe. Whatever Pastor orders, that's what I'm going to get. Okay? That's what I'm going to get. I don't know this stuff. Now, I've become to love it. But then I had never been to Chinese restaurant. The other message, it's a Mexican restaurant. This message is a Chinese restaurant. And so he ordered, or he was about to order. The waiter came up, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. He set his menu down slowly. He looked up at that waiter and he said, "I just want a happy family." And I thought, well, Lord bless him. He is so transparent that he'll tell anybody at any moment, "I just want a happy family. I mean, that's what I want." Well, my shins are still sore from my wife kicking me, showing me on the menu that that was one of the items, you know. Oh, well, I knew that, you know. That's fine. I started to say, I don't know about you, but I do know about you because I know you. We want a happy family. There's nobody in this room who would honestly say, put their hand on the Bible and say, "I want conflict in the home." No, you don't. "I want to have a stressed out life under the roof of our house." No, you don't. "I want there to be turmoil as we raise our children and try to have a happy marriage." No, you don't. You want a happy family. And I want to say this morning because I understand it very well. As the Lord addresses these different roles that are played in the home, I understand that not all homes are of that specific makeup. We've got some fine ladies in our church who are raising children on their own. We have some men who are doing the same thing. We have married people without children. But I want to say this. I want you to allow God's Word to challenge you in whatever your home makeup is at this time. Whatever it is. Well, it's just me and Grandma. We've raised all the kids and the young grandkids are coming on board. Well, let this help you help your kids love and direct your grandkids then. Okay? So don't turn it off. Well, our family's different than these three. Well, let's tune it back into the Lord because He has a plan for all of us. I want a happy family. God provides a highway for the home for us to follow and heed His direction and wisdom. The highway that He provides, it's not just some novel idea that He hopes we will take a few thoughts from and pick and choose. It is necessary, listen, it's necessary instructions that He has provided for all of us. And so as we look to this passage, we understand that God has a plan for our life. Now, why are these instructions so necessary? I want to remind you of something. And I'm not doing this to give credit to the devil. But I'm doing this and I'm stating this as fact and as reality. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may..." What? That devours a pretty strong word. He's not just trying to trip us up and get us in a little scuffle. He is trying to devour our homes. Now, I'm not saying that to put a blanket on any of this, or I'm starting off with reality here. And so when we read a verse like that and we know that it's very prevalent through different avenues of this world and other things that affect our life, He's trying. He's trying, man. He doesn't want you and your... You know what He wants? He wants, if you're married, He wants you and your spouse. Okay, they're existing in the same home, but there's no relationship. When there could be. And He's trying to devour our children. And so this passage helps us, and I hope that these things will help us this morning. Choosing God's highway for the home. Now, there are three different groups of people that are addressed here by our Lord this morning, and I'm going to address them and challenge each of us appropriately as we work to have this happy family. First of all, we're going to start with the husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, God is commanding us to lead our homes. Lead our homes. Not push people into doing stuff, but follow. What did Paul say? Follow me as what? I follow Christ. And God says, I'm looking for some men who will lead. I found in life that there are a lot of us who want to be leaders. But can I say this? We're not leaders, but what we turn around and there's people following us. Just because I'm the man in the house doesn't right off the bat make me a leader. If I'm following God's plan, and let's find out what it is. It says here, husbands, head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. We have a comparison here. Follow me now. We have Christ in the church. We have our husbands and our wife. And God says this. He says, men, I want you to love and lead your wife as Christ does the church. How does Christ do this? How does he incorporate himself with the church? Well, first of all, he says this, and this is the next verse. Christ also loved the church. And what else did he do? Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus leads us, the church. And by the way, the church is not the building. The church is the called out assembly. In the Greek, that word is ekklesia. And what it means is called out. We were called out this morning to assemble. You are the church. We are the church. Okay? And so the Bible says that Jesus is trying to show us how to lead, and he does that by the example of the church because he loves the church. Oh, he loves the church dearly. Now, when you hear that, understand that you're the church. So he loves you dearly. And he has given himself for you. Jesus, as he died on the cross, he accepted all of our sins, past, present, and future, and he gave himself sacrificially for us. But you know what? He's still giving to us today. Day in and day out, he is still giving, he is still giving, he is still giving. And he says, I want you to use that as an example of how to lead and love your wife. You see, the man of the house is the loving leader. Leadership doesn't mean that I grab a big stick and start hitting everybody behind me on the head because they're supposed to do what I say. Bless God. No. That's not it at all. By the way, that's the opposite of leadership. You ever heard someone talk to their kids and say, boy, straighten up. This is your father speaking. I always think that's kind of humorous. Maybe I shouldn't laugh. But I'm thinking, what's going through that five-year-old's mind? Oh, so that's who you are. I was wondering who you were. Okay. Thank you for the information. If I have to reveal to anyone who is following me my title, then I have just revealed my lack of leadership. If I have to remind my kids I'm their dad, then I just told them that I'm not confident in that position. And I'm really not, and I've just got to remind you of it. And I guess I've got to hear myself say it for some reason. I said this in the 845 service, and I'm not just saying it because Pastor's here, but I have worked for him for a little over 19 years. And I have never one time heard him say anything of, well, I'm the pastor and this is the way it's going to be. Leaders don't have to do that. See, a leader leads. He doesn't push people. You know what pushing people does? It scatters. That's what it does. You start getting behind a bunch of people and you start pushing them, guess what happens? They go in all different directions. But hey, if I could whistle good, I'd whistle. Hey, come on, let's do it. Hey, you know what? We ought to so lead our homes that we get to serve God. We don't have to serve God. We get to. Man, we got up this morning and got ourselves to church. Hey, we get to come to church. And that's a leader. That's someone who says, hey, come on, man, let's do this thing. Follow me. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best I can. I want to serve the Lord, and I want to lead you to do the same thing. And so he loved the church. He gave himself for the church. I fear that sometimes we want the leadership role without learning what the true leader said about fulfilling that role. You see, a godly leader motivates, not manipulates. He motivates. You've got someone in your life that's in a leadership role, and you value their direction. It's not because they manipulated you into doing something, or they belittled, or they made you feel stupid into doing it. No one wants to be treated like that. But they hey, you can do it. Come on. Hey, let's do it together. And it's a motivation. And I say to our men, and I'm saying this to myself as well, we need to lead our homes with love and with sacrificial giving. That's how you get people to follow. That's why Grandview Baptist Church is almost 31 years old. It's because there was a leader who led in love and sacrificial giving as Christ led the church. Okay? All right. And so, sacrificial giving. We give our wives some things sometime selfishly. You ever done that? You aren't going to admit it right now, of course, right? A fella that wanted to take up fishing, he bought his wife's birthday was coming up. Bought her a fishing rod. She's like, what in the world? She goes, I don't even know which end is up and down. I don't know how to use this thing. She goes, we have never been, well, honey, I'm wanting us to take up fishing. She says, well, okay, I've got a fishing rod. What in the world what are you going to use if we go? Well, I got a few more other things, you know. Well, what'd you get? Well, I got a boat so we could fish off of it. And, of course, I got to have a truck to pull the boat so we can fish off. That's not sacrificial giving, okay? You know what I'm saying? All right. That's called what's in it for me. All right. And we jokingly say that. But you know what? We lead by love. Our wives deserve... let me say this. My wife deserves far more than what I give her. Far more. Your wife deserves far more love and sacrificial giving than most of us give. Now, we're working on it, and we're seeking the Lord for direction. And we're striving to be a better husband. I don't pray this. I don't say, Lord, help me to be the best husband. I'm not trying to be the best. But I am trying to be the husband that my wife needs. And that's what I pray. Lord, help me to be the husband that Kristen needs. Not trying to compete with anybody else. Because I'd lose for sure. All right? And so, as men, here's what we do. Now, in Ephesians 5, as we learn about the ladies, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Ladies, I want to say this, and I want to say this kindly, and I want this to be accepted very well. God did not put the lady of the home, the wife of the home, with the man of the home for competition. Or for competing. He placed the lady there for completing. Do you understand the difference? We're not competing. You say, well, why didn't God put her there for competing? Because she'd win and make us look bad. That's why. Man, my wife is far greater at things than I am. But you know what? I am reaching levels in different areas that I would never reach if I did not have woman the... completer. Ladies, you play a huge role. An incredible role. There's no one else who can do it. The whole world can be against us. But if our wife is there standing with her hand up, I can conquer. Hey, you just throw it at me, buddy. I'm just telling you. If my wife is for me, there's just something inside that says, man, let's do it. Come on. An incredible role. You have such a unique perspective on life that it is incredible. And ladies, I pray and I ask you, based on the Word of God, to take that role and make it happen in your marriage. If you're married here this morning, marriage is, and I'm, you know, we've been married a little over 20 years. Many of you have been married three times as long as we have. I'm not speaking as a, I'm speaking as a novice. Novice, excuse me. But I am saying that God designed marriage for it to be enjoyable and companionship. Pastor's told us this before. It doesn't give us ultimate fighting privileges, or he said something like that. Oh, we're married now. You sign the paper, I sign the paper. All right, put them up. Let's go. That's not what we do. We ought to be serving one another. So we see the ladies and how important that they are. And, God, and ladies, let me just tell you this. We need you. In this passage of Scripture, now you look at this later, and I hope I counted it right. But when God addresses the men, you know how many words he has to use to tell us what to do? 178. Okay. Do you know how many words he has to use with the ladies? Only 32. He'll know the ladies get it. Us guys, we're too busy watching ESPN. What's that, Lord? Okay, what? Okay. So just understand, we need you. Now, there's someone else in these three roles that need us, and that's our children. And let's look to see what the Word of God says about that, the children. First verse in Ephesians chapter 6 addresses the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, if I were speaking to a group of children, and there's some younger folks in the room today that you still live under the canopy of your parents, I'm going to say to you very specifically and very kindly, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But since there's not that many children, I'm going to address then the ones who should be making sure that the children obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's the parents. It is my responsibility to make sure that my children are obeying. Is it because of me and I'm their grandfather and I'm, not their grandfather, but you know what I mean. I'm the one, I have the crown and, No, it's not that at all. You see, we only have them for a few years. Some of you already know that. Some of us are finding that out. And if I spend those few years telling them, obey me, obey me, obey me, you lied, you disobeyed me, you were dishonest, you did this, and you went against your father. No. I want them to understand something that take them through their years way past my leadership in their life. And that's God's leadership. Son, let me teach you something. What you did was not pleasing to the Lord. Now, he's very anxious to forgive. Let's get this right and let me teach you the right way. Let me help you with this. We point them to Christ. We point them, and that's how, why? Because when they turn whatever age and leave and all this kind of stuff, it's, well, out of mom and dad's world. No, they're still in his world. Okay? And if they're directed to him, hopefully, they will continue to look as God as their leadership and their parents as being that supportive role in the leadership. Children, look here. Obey your parents what? In the Lord, for this is right. And so that challenges us as parents. I've got to hurry along here. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. This is a sad statement, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Raising children, as I'm still finding out, takes time. It takes patience. Aren't you glad? God raising us takes time and patience. Aren't you glad God has time and patience for us? Do you think he's trying to be an example, which would supersede anything we could ever do, but trying to be an example to us and our children, it takes time and patience. It takes love. It takes direction. It takes an influence of godliness and right. If you have small children, you understand they are watching our life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? I remember years ago, I was taking Derek down the road. He was just a young tot. No, I'm just kidding. And is that the right? Yeah, anyway. We're going down the road, and I I've learned a lot from Pastor through the years, and even in my driving habits, I've found that we have a lot in common. I don't know. And this car pulled out in front of me. Now, what do you do when a car pulls out in front of you? Well, I'll tell you what I did, and this is one of those low moments in my life that I rarely visit, but man, I laid on that horn. What in the world? I see it as, if you're going to pull out in front of me, that's okay, but would you please join us in this streaming flow of traffic? As long as you tie right in, I'm fine with that. But when you pull out, I'm like, why'd you do that? And what's the best of it is there's no one behind me. Okay, go figure that out. I always look in my rearview mirror when someone pulls in front of me. And I always think, there's no one behind me. Why did you pull out? Anyway, I've got Derek in the car. He's in a little car seat playing with his jingle toy. And this car pulls out. Oh, I was bad. I shouldn't have done this. I'm like, beeping on the horn, you know, and stuff like that. And Derek goes, Dad, why'd you do that? I said, he pulled out in front of me. Not thinking that I was on, you know, candid camera, you know. Well, not long after that, he was in the car with my wife. Same kind of scenario. She was driving along. She had her Bible open on the steering wheel reading, you know, having her devotions. Prayer list went down through this console there. And a car, I'm telling you, gospel truth, okay? Car pulled out in front of her not long after this. She slowed down, started quoting the Bible, praying for the person in front of them, you know. And my son said, he goes, Dad, or Mom, she's like, what? Why didn't you beep your horn at the person that pulled out in front of you? I'm telling you the truth. And she goes, well, why would I do that? Well, that's what my daddy does. And then he went on to... This is near heresy. But then he went on to say this. That's what Jesus would do. How many of you guys have ever bombed it before? Hey, come on now. Don't be... Okay. That's what you call a bomb. I found out about that and I thought, wow. This thing of leading kids is, man, it's like having a... What's one of those cameras you wear on your head? Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. It's like having one of those on your kid's head. But you know what? I needed that. Because it taught me that as I try to direct my kids to follow Christ, they're watching my life. Now, folks, in closing tonight or this morning, can I just say, whatever role it is that we're playing in this home, man, let's get on board. Let's do it. And the Lord may be dealing with you in some areas of, you know, I'm a man in the home, I'm a lady in the home, I'm children in the home, whatever it is, I'm trying to direct my kids. I just believe God's speaking to our hearts this morning and challenging us in some areas. And he says, here's the highway. Here's the highway. You've tried it your way. Does that work? No. But I want to give you my way. And that's what he gives us. But folks, in closing today, I want to say this. He does not only give us a highway to have a happy home, he also gives us a highway to attain a heavenly home.